Thank you very much. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were wise took their lamps and took no oil. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise, verse number 4, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I said to you, I know you not.' Verse 13, 'Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful privilege you've given us, Lord, to be in your house today. I thank you for the precious Word of God. Lord, I pray that you illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay. Lord, help me today to say only those things that are well-pleasing in your sight. I pray, God, you help me, Father, to deliver the message that you've laid upon my heart today. I pray for open hearts, Lord, and understanding from those in the pews today. Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice by way of social media, by way of internet, by way of our website, Father, that has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of their life and Savior, Lord, I pray today would be that day. They realize they need Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, if there's others that's discouraged, Lord, today would be the day that they are encouraged and rejoice in the things of God and in the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you have your will and way in all that's said and all that's done. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 25, this is a parable, of course, and we find the very first word of this parable tells us some things that are interesting in our Bible. Most of the time we read the Bible and we kind of take it, I guess, for face value, and I don't want to criticize the Bible, but the Bible is written in different dispensations, or written to different dispensations. This actual text of Scripture is not written to the church, but the church can borrow from it. We can use it as an application. The very first word in chapter 25 is the word "then," and that tells us that this was given in context of the Scripture of the coming of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God in Israel. And so you go back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is not written to the church. Amen. It's written during the time of the tribulation period. Many people like to try to say that Matthew 24 is applied to the church age. That is incorrect. But I'm not going to get into all that this morning and tear the Bible apart and dissect all those verses of Scripture. I want to try to apply that, borrow from that, if I may, this morning, and apply it in this fashion, that the Bible says, when they were ready, in verse number 10, they went in with him to the marriage and the door was shut. I want to borrow from that verse of Scripture. And this morning I want to preach some message on when the Lord shuts the door. Amen. When the Lord shuts the door. There's many places throughout Scripture we'll find that the Lord shut the door. There's an ark, amen, that Noah was on the ark. And the Lord, the Bible says, shut the door. And on that ark was only Noah and his family. There's only 8 individuals that was on that ark. And we think about that for just a moment and how the Lord shut the door. And all those that was on the outside were pleading and begging to get in, but there was no opening of that door. Amen. So when the Lord shuts the door, it is shut permanently. Amen. I want to borrow from that. Let me give you just a few things real quickly this morning about this passage of Scripture. First of all, the virgins represent those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read this passage, the lamps represent a believer's witness or a believer's testimony. The oil in this passage of Scripture signifies the Holy Spirit, who is the life and the power of the believer's witness. Amen. And we also find in this passage of Scripture, the bridegroom, and we understand this is to be the Lord Jesus Christ and none else. Amen. And his tarrying is an unexpected delay in his return. Many Jews will profess Jesus as the Christ during the early part of the tribulation period. Let me say this to everyone in the sound of my voice. We are not living in the tribulation period. Amen. There's no Bible to back that up. We talked about this morning in Sunday school to prove all things. What does the Bible say concerning the tribulation period? The next major event that takes place before the tribulation period is the rapture, hallelujah, of the church. Amen. Jesus comes in the clouds, calls the dead in Christ first, and we which are alive and remain shall meet the Lord in the air. Amen. That's the next major event before the tribulation period. I can promise you, though, after that event, the tribulation will begin, and it is 7 years of tribulation. We understand it to be 3.5 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of the great tribulation. What difference does that make? Well, the first 3.5 years ain't nothing like the last 3.5 years are going to be. And I want to say that this morning for everyone that hears my voice, there is coming a tribulation period. Amen. It's on its way. It's not here yet. And what we're dealing with in our day has nothing similar or even close to what it will be when Jesus Christ raptures the church and the great wrath of God is poured out upon this earth. Amen. You and I have not seen anything, will not see anything like such tribulation. Thank God we are saved, we'll not be here. Amen. But we find that during this passage of Scripture, in the context of this, that during the tribulation period, there'll be many who profess Jesus Christ. When the gospel is preached by the 144,000 Jewish evangelists and the two prophets that's mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter number 11, but some will have the reality of salvation and some will not. Some will really understand what it means, some will profess, and some will possess. And that's what it's dealing with in this passage of Scripture. They will be expectant of His immediate return, but they will become distracted by the conditions that exist in the tribulation, and they will lose their sense of expectancy. And so that's what we find in the context of this Scripture. But as I said, I want to borrow from that, and I want to preach this message this morning on when the Lord shuts the door. Now let me give you just a little bit of the understanding of the customs of that day of the Jewish people. It was a custom for the bridegroom to go to the home of the bride on the appointed wedding day to get his bride. We ought to shout right there that are saved, amen. We understand a little bit about the bridegroom coming for the bride, amen. But it was a custom of their day. Sometimes it would be at night, depending on the time of the arrival of the groom. The bridesmaid would be at the home of the bride and would accompany her and the groom in a festive parade back to his home. They would all go together back to the groom's house. Back to the father's house. Amen. They would carry torches or lamps to light the way, especially if it took place at night. No doubt there was excitement in the bride. Amen. Because her bridegroom was coming. Amen. No doubt there ought to be some excitement in the bride because her bridegroom is coming. Amen. The lamps of that day were filled with olive oil. These lamps had a small reserve for the oil and would need to be refilled often. Therefore, it was necessary to carry extra oil in a container so when the lamps ran out of oil, they could be refilled. We're commanded in the Scripture to be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Each of the bridegrooms were responsible for filling their own lamps. There's a message right there too. Amen. Each one of us are responsible for being full of the Spirit of God. The all refers to that which prepared them to give forth light. Just as we're responsible for being filled with the Spirit of God, amen, and we're to let our light so shine before a dark world, amen. Be not drunk with wine. People do things out of the ordinary when they're drunk with wine. You get full of God, you get full of the Holy Ghost of God, you'll do things out of the ordinary, amen, and you won't wake up in the morning with a headache wondering what you've done the night before, amen. Be you filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That's a command from Scripture, amen. Once at home of the bridegroom, once at the home of the bridegroom, the wedding would be accomplished and then the feast would begin. I've often made comments about it being banana pudding and fried chicken. I don't know what's going to be there, but I guarantee you this, it's going to be good. Amen. Amen. Verse number 2 says that there were 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. This is a picture of the false professing Christian. I know that's probably not very popular preaching in our day, but there is such thing as false professing Christians that are in our day just as they were in history, just as they will be in the future, in the tribulation period. There'll be some that are false professors. And we find that that's what this picture is speaking of, the false professing Christian and the true, know for sure, born again, Bible believing Christian. This suggests that not every professing Christian will go to heaven. Some have not truly trusted Christ and are only running with the crowd. There's many in churches today that's only going because mom and daddy go. There's some that's only going because grandma and grandpa go. Amen. There's some in churches today that only go because it's just a conscience thing. They feel they need to be there. It's just the right thing to do on Sunday to get up and go to church. But I'm afraid to say that there's many that's running with the crowd that has not possessed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. These two groups now, as we study this passage of Scripture, we find them located in the same place and they were going to meet the same bridegroom. Now listen, there's many professing Christians who sit in the same church pew. Amen. They sing the same songs that we sing. They give in the same offering that we do. They do everything that we do, but they do not possess the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about the same Lord, but yet they don't know Him. They know of Him, but they don't know Him personally. It's not a personal relationship to them. It's something that they've heard about. It's something that they've heard down through the years. I know teenagers and young people many times will pick up on what mom and daddy say or what grandma and grandpa say, and they'll use that and they'll talk about the Lord. They know the lingo. They know the language and they can talk about Him, but they don't know Him. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 13, let me read this to you real quickly, and you're here in Luke chapter 13 verse 22. The Bible says He went out through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But He shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. We find in this passage of Scripture that the Lord says there's some that possess and there's some that just profess. Amen. There's going to be that crowd that will think they're going to get into heaven, and the Lord will look at them and say, depart from me, I know you not. And what a sad day it will be to stand before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the Lord help us, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Listen, to stand before Him and He look at you and say, depart from me, I don't know who you are. Lord, we've done all these things. We've done this and we've done that, and we've tried to prophesy and we've tried to tell others, but the Lord says of them, I know you not. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Amen goes right there. "And the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So we understand that the Lord knows who are truly possessors and who are false professors. Amen. And we have that in our day. Amen. There's some that know. Hey, listen, they don't have a close personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just coming to an altar and saying, "I will, I do," or whatever the case is. Or, "Lord, save us." More to it than that. It is a close personal relationship. Amen. It's someone I commune with every day of my life. Amen. I talk to him. He talks to me. We have a relationship, and it's a love relationship, and without the Lord, I don't know what I'd do. Amen. No doubt the bride is pictured here in this passage of Scripture. No doubt the bride knew the bridegroom. There was a relationship between the two. Put yourself in the place of the bride and the bridegroom. If you're married this morning, you knew your bride and you knew your bridegroom before you ever got married. There was a relationship. My girls, whenever they was talking to their boyfriends, they would talk for hours and hours and hours on the phone. And I say, "How in the world can you have anything to talk about after the 40 hours you spent on the phone yesterday?" And they would laugh and say, "Dad, you just don't understand." I said, "You're exactly right. There's not enough words in the English language unless y'all just repeating what you said the first time." And they would laugh at him and say, "Dad, you just don't understand." Well, I do understand. It's called love. Amen. And whenever you have a close personal relationship, you'll find some things to talk about. Yep. Amen. Yeah, listen, I don't go to the Lord in prayer with a blank mind. "Lord, help, I've got plenty to talk about." Hey man, if nothing else, just to thank Him for what He's done and where He's brought me from. If nothing else, just to praise His holy name for the fact that I'm saved and not going to die and go to a devil's hell. Hey man, that I could spend hours doing that. We ought to have a close personal relationship. There's many that know the name of Jesus. They've heard about Jesus, but they don't know Him on a personal basis. Notice when, if you would, in verse number 10, "And while they went to buy, it was midnight, and even if they had found the oil, it would be nearly impossible to buy that oil and get back to the wedding in time. This was a warning to those that put off the matter of salvation. When the Lord shuts the door, there's no time. It's over with. There comes an end of opportunity for salvation. Amen. I hate to inform you of that this morning. Everyone that's listening to my voice, there will come an end to the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. The door is open now. Thank God that it is. Amen. But there's a warning to those that put off this matter of salvation. There are some saved at the last moments of life. And there, we look at the thief on the cross, and there he was, and there's no baptism. And we talk about that and how people like to say that you have to be baptized before you can be saved. But the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. And the Lord said, "Thou shalt be with me today in paradise." At the last moment of life, he accepted Jesus and believed on the Lord, and he was saved. Then what about the other one? He didn't do that. He put it off and began to say things about the Lord. We find someone said this, that only one was saved at the last hour, so none would despair. But only one that none would delay. Who knows that you have a last opportunity at the moment of death? Who knows that? Why in the world would you want to wait till the death door, amen, to try to accept Christ as your Savior? I can testify to you that most people that's put it off until they meet death, they never made that decision. And some people say, "Well, my loved one," and don't get mad at me when I say this, I'm just being honest with you. And we prove all things, amen, line it up with Scripture. And they say, "At the last moment, my loved one had a smile on her face, so I know they must have met the Lord." You're full of foolishness and you're fooling yourself if you believe such a thing. They lived a life of wickedness away from God and rebelled and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." That's Bible, amen. Preacher, that's awful hard. It's the truth. Amen? It's the truth, and we have a responsibility to proclaim that truth and don't allow them to deceive themselves thinking they're all right when they're not. Some that possess and some that profess. Some say, I'll do it someday. I'll get right someday. I'll get things right with God. Felix was one of those. We'll find him in Acts chapter 24. Sent for Paul, and he heard from Paul those words concerning the faith in Christ. And Felix answered and said, the Bible says that as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and he answered Paul, and he says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I'll report to you this morning that Felix died without the Lord. There never was a convenient season. Better be careful turning that thing away. Amen. Better be careful turning away from the Lord. When the Lord's knocking at your door, you better be careful turning it away. May not ever have another opportunity. The last part of verse number 10, the bridegroom came and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the Bible says, and the door was shut. And Paul said that he was ready. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was ready. Those that were ready, amen, they went in, and the door was shut. The Scripture says, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. People take it for granted they're going to breathe another breath of air. People take it for granted they're going to see another day. People take it for granted as they leave the house of God and the Word of God has been preached and they reject the Word of God. They take it for granted they'll have another opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. Prove all things. You can't back that up with Bible. Amen. The Bible doesn't say that nowhere that you'll get another chance. The Bible says make yourself ready. Amen. Be ready for when the Lord shuts the door, it's going to be shut forever. What a sobering thought. What a sobering thought. The foolish virgins was out seeking oil for their lamps and the door was shut. Because they had not prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, they missed out on the marriage feast. Let me say this, that closing of the door was final. The opportunity to salvation had come to an end. John chapter 10 verse 9, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the door. And whenever that door is shut, it's final. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you this morning. I understand the Bible, and I know according to the Word of God, there will be souls saved during the tribulation period. There will be the Gentile nations saved during the tribulation period. I know that. I understand that. But the church age that we're living in right now, those individuals that reject the gospel, reject the Word of God, reject the Lord Jesus Christ, have heard the truth, know the truth, and have rejected that, will not have another opportunity. The door's closed. The bride's gone. Well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, there's not going to be another bride. Jesus Christ does not get a divorce. Amen. He don't get a divorce. There's not going to be another bride. And so it's final. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. We find the door open unto the Gentiles. This is our day. This is our opportunity. Jesus Christ came into His own and His own received Him not. And the Bible teaches us that to provoke the Jews to jealousy, the door was open to the Gentiles. And when the door is open to the Gentiles, that's the dispensation time of the church age. That's our opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. And there is coming a day when that door will shut and there'll be no more opportunity. Let me say this morning, when the door is shut, when the Lord shuts the door, there'll be no time for repentance. There'll be no more repentance. It's too late to repent after the door shut. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There'll be no time for repentance when the door is closed. Those foolish virgins cry, Lord, Lord, let us in. Let us in. I'm so thankful I won't be here after the rapture of the church takes place, because I could just imagine, boy, there's going to be many. Lord, you forgot me. Lord, come back and get me. Could you imagine? It's hard to even think of such a thing. Of all the folks that's rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and what they will think whenever the church is raptured out, that thing was true. I can imagine the conversations. They'll probably be saying something like, wow, that Christian was right. Now I'm going to go through the tribulation period. The Bible teaches us that there'll be many during that time of tribulation, they'll try to kill themselves. And they can't do it. You talk about sorrow. What sorrow? That sorrow will never go away. They'll suffer forever and ever. There'll be no time for prayer when the Lord shuts the door. It's too late to pray after the door is shut. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, the Bible says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Psalmist said in Psalms 18 verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. Psalms 15 verse 15, the Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Acts chapter 2 verse 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Chapter 10 verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There'll be no time for repentance. There'll be no time for prayer. And let me say this, there'll be no time for pleading. Once the door is shut, notice verse number 11. Again, afterward came also the other virgins said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And they were fervent in their crying, but the fervency came too late. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Having the lamps didn't put the five foolish in the parade. Just because they had the lamps, just because they was running with the other virgins, didn't get them in. They lacked oil in their lamps. Having on a suit on Sunday morning don't make you a believer. Don't get you in. The scripture says you must be born again. Verse number 12, I know you not. The bridegroom could in fact say that he didn't know the five foolish virgins because they were not in the parade back to the bridegroom's house. These virgins were generally friends of the bride, not necessarily of the bridegroom. So by them not being in the parade back to the bridegroom's house, he would not have had a chance to meet them or even see them. Therefore, he does not know them. Verse 13, the Bible says, watch. That word watch means give strict attention to. Be cautious. Take heed. The coming of the Savior is certain. It is absolute. There's no guessing. There's no question. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. Amen? That's absolute. The time that is coming is not certain. For in the hour that you think not. Amen? The Son of Man cometh. Genesis chapter 7 verse 16, when the Lord shut the door of the ark, it was shut to stay. The word shut means to stay closed. Once Christ comes or we die, all opportunity for salvation is gone. If at that time you're not saved, you never will be. The door to heaven will never be open again. Some people think that where one door closes, another door opens. You ever heard that saying? That's many people's philosophy. Well, where the Lord shuts one door, He'll open another one. That's exactly right, He does. But it's the door to hell. It's the door of torment. Forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. The door of torment. If you miss the door of heaven, you'll find yourself going through the doors of hell. And where that door is shut, it's never opened. Just as sure as you and I that are saved go into heaven and the door is shut to get there, when the Lord shuts the door, just as sure that door is shut, the door to hell will be shut and there's no getting out. Eternal torment. Procrastination about the most important matter in life will send multitudes to hell. We read this passage of Scripture and we find here there's many lessons. And the greatest lesson that we find in this passage of Scripture is not to be a professor and not a possessor. The greatest thing that we find also is that salvation is a personal relationship with Christ. And we see that in these wise virgins. They were wise. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And it's a wise thing. It takes wise men to follow the Lord. Amen. It takes wise men and wise women, wise individuals to accept Jesus Christ and not be foolish with our life. Our very life is at stake. And many souls will walk into a church and out of a church and take that for granted that they have another opportunity. But when the Lord shuts the door, that opportunity is gone. When the Lord shuts the door, that opportunity is gone. You and I as believers are not to sleep, but we're to always be ready and looking for and hasten the coming of the Lord. Amen. In the context of this Scripture, we know that the tribulation causes those tribulation saints to lose their focus. They get their mind off of everything that's going on around them and they lose their focus on the Lord. Amen. And you and I in this dispensation, this time that we're living, are not to get focused on things around us, but be focused on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming the next time in the air. The second coming of the Lord is when He comes to this earth. Amen. And that's what the Jewish nation is looking for. Amen. We won't see that. We're going to be gone before that happens. Amen. So you and I, we're to keep our lamps trimmed so that the oil will flow freely and the light will shine brightly that those around us can see light in such a dark world. This is a picture of the believer who's confessing his sin, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, loving God's Word, walking in the Spirit and praying and serving and obeying Christ and separating from the evil things of this world. One of the failures I find in our day and find in some of our history is where some would come around with knocking on doors and passing out tracts and say, "Would you like to go to heaven? Are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven?" And many times people answer and say, "No, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you like me to tell you how you can go to heaven?" They begin to share a tract with them and say, "If you'll bow your head and pray this prayer, you can go to heaven." That's deception. Amen. Does everybody listen to me? That's deception. If you bow your head and pray this prayer, and they would lead them in a prayer and they would repeat after them and they would think that they're going to heaven. That's deception of the devil. The devil is a deceiver. Don't be fooled by his tricks. He is a deceiver. The only way for you and I to get in there is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work upon Calvary. That He was born, amen, we just celebrated His birth. He was born, amen, and He died on the cross for your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world. And He was buried in a borrowed tomb and raised bodily the third day, victorious over hell and the grave. If we believe that with our whole heart, thou shalt be saved. Call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord. Preacher, how do I do that? You call upon the Lord and say, "I believe in the gospel. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I believe that. Forgive me of my sin. That's godly sorrow. That's repentance. Amen. Thou shalt be saved. There's many who's made false professions. I'm very concerned in our day of those that will stand and say, Lord, Lord, open that door once it's shut. Because once it's shut, it's over. You and I have that great responsibility, amen, to live righteous before others. To tell them that Jesus is coming. What time's he coming? I don't know. The firemen, listen, when firemen, they know they're going to have to fight fire. That's what they train for. That's what they're ready for. And a fireman will go to bed at night with his clothes either on or laying beside of him. Don't know when the fire's going to be, but they know there's a possibility. They know there's one to come, and that call will come when there's a fire. They have to get up and get out to get to the fire. And so they prepare themselves. They make themselves ready for the fire. You and I have to make ourselves ready, be ready for it at any moment, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, hallelujah, he's coming to take the bride home. And we are to be ready and looking for him and hasten for the day that the Lord comes. Take us home. Those who are saved don't lose their salvation if they get spiritually careless. Because we're sealed until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. I'm sealed. When the Lord shuts the door, are you sure that you're in that number? Are you sure that you're part of the why? Find the five wise and virgins and the five foolish. I can testify with great confidence this morning. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. I know I've got it settled that I'm saved by the grace of God. Not by my good works, not by my good merits, but by the grace of God that the righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto me. God the Father looks down, don't see me in my unworthiness, don't see me in my wretchedness, but he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been imputed unto me. I know without a shadow of a doubt. There's many people in our day that's living in doubt. They've made professions, but yet they don't have it settled. They doubt their salvation. Can I help you this morning? If we don't have it settled, if we're having doubts about our salvation, it's not settled. If we don't have it settled, we can't live in victory. We can't be that shining light to those around us because we don't have it settled ourselves. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 5, these things are written that you may know. Amen. I can know that I'm saved. And you can know that you're saved because these things are written. And God wrote it down for us so we'll know for sure. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, when Jesus comes and takes the bride and the door shut, I'll be on the other side of that door. Amen. And you'll be on the other side of that door. But when the Lord shuts the door, my friend, please, I plead with you. Don't wait. Don't wait till it's too late. There's no time when the door is shut. It's no time to repent. It's no time to pray. It's no time for pleading. When the door shut, when that door shut, there's no more opportunity. Are you sure you got it settled?